Welcome everybody back to the Gaming Careers Podcast, a weekly live stream covering all the news for the live streaming and content creation industry. This week we're going to be talking about OBS Studio's latest update, OnlyFans backtracking, Streamlabs' new monthly tipping feature, Twitch's new creator goals feature, and much, much more. For any new watchers and listeners, this is a show that we do every single Monday here on YouTube, so please do feel free to join in the chat. Let us know your thoughts on any of the topics that we're discussing, and if you haven't yet hit that like button, please do to help spread this stream around to other subscribers for the Gaming Careers channel. Good morning, afternoon, everyone, to all the people in chat. Who have we got? Vilma, SSGT, Not Beastly, Exceldro, Dwink, Sirius. Great to see so many of you already participating in the chat, and obviously our co-host Ben. We'll start with you. How are you doing, mate?
I'm good, man. I'm doing pretty well. I'm getting ready to move this entire setup next weekend to a new place, so that's going to be a fun process, but otherwise not too bad. How about you? How are you doing?
I'm good. Let me ask you a question on that. Is it going to be the same setup that you've got? Are you going to replicate your room in the new house, or is it a different shape? Are you going to have to rethink LED lights, panels, guitars on the wall?
The biggest thing is it's got tan walls instead of black walls. So I have to invert, like the white lights won't work well on the white wall, right? So it'll be a little different, but I'll try and keep it somewhat similar probably.
I always get a bit excited about moving to a new space, but then you realize actually how much you have to do. You have to like re-cable organize everything and think about all these new challenges of sound and those kind of things. Like, you've got a carpet at least or not?
I don't. I have to buy a big thick rug to try and absorb some of that sound, but luckily these mics are pretty good at least with streaming and cutting off some of that background sound, so we'll see how it is. I might kind of document putting the process together and what it ends up looking like.
That's true. You can always just buy a huge thick rug. That will make a big difference, and then you know, if you need a video about, you know, acoustic treatment, Gaming Careers does have one on the channel.
If only someone had a video.
Where should we start? Obviously the thumbnail and title is around this cheeky little feature that Streamlabs has built, but I think let's save that for a little later on and maybe start with OBS Studio. Does that sound like a good place to start?
Yeah, as always, we always cover the updates here when we have them. So version 27.1 has just released. Pete, do you want to go through some of the updates that we have for this new version that's come out?
Yeah, I'll let me just bring up the screen capture here. So OBS tweeted a few days ago that version 27.1, so this is a minor update, it's not a whole new version number, but a 0.1 increment is usually a good handful of new features anyway. And within 27.1 there is a few notable features. Probably most importantly is integration with YouTube. So OBS for a few versions now has had Twitch integration, where you can actually log into your account through OBS and then it automatically brings up your Twitch chat and things like your recent events on Twitch. They've basically done the same now with YouTube side of things. And YouTube has been like one of the top tier sponsors of OBS Studio, similar to Twitch, similar to Facebook. And they've worked like hand in hand to build this. So effectively now you can log into your YouTube account through OBS Studio and do things like schedule streams. You get the chat integration, which previously has been pretty difficult because each URL for each stream was a different URL on YouTube. So that's really cool that it'll automatically have the chat integration for the stream that you're doing now. You still can't fully schedule a stream, or at least how I schedule streams, you can't, because there's no way to add a custom thumbnail. So if you're doing like a stream where you add a custom thumbnail each time, then it's, for me, I think it's still better to do that through the typical YouTube Studio interface. Maybe they'll add that in the future. But I think this is kind of more designed for people that are constantly streaming and just want to get their stream up and running quickly. So do you want to touch on that at all, or do you want me to, you know, continue through the other new features?
I mean, just real quick, obviously we're streaming on YouTube right now, so it sounds like you kind of poked around a little bit before this show. Are you using like the chat integration or anything at least, or any pieces right now as we speak?
When I'm streaming, I always use like the stable release. So this is still OBS version 27.0 effectively. 0.1 is still in release candidate form, so it's still like in its beta testing form. It's probably stable enough to stream, but you know, if you're worried about features breaking, which they do from time to time, then usually it's recommended that you at least start with your streams with the stable version. So I've played around with it. Like, I have two different OBS installs. I actually have a screenshot here that I can show, which has sort of the event creation from within OBS Studio when you're making a YouTube live stream now. So you can either create a new event or select an existing event, and you can see the options that you have here. So no way to add a thumbnail as far as I can tell, but you can, you know, title, description, change the privacy, whether it's made for kids or not, what latency you want to use, all those kind of things. So really cool update. I think this has been one that's been really easy to predict. And as soon as it is, you know, an official release, the latest update to version 27, then I'll definitely be using it for these streams. Because right now, yeah, you have to like have your chat. You can dock your chat window, but you have to change the URL each time. It's easier really just to manage that through YouTube, I think. So this is a cool feature. Honestly, I'd be very surprised if the same thing's not going to happen for Facebook next. Like the way to link your Facebook account, if you can't already, again, then we need to do more research on these kinds of things when it comes to Facebook. But I believe you can't currently link your Facebook account. Maybe you can. I should have checked that beforehand. But I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, OBS Studio is universally used across so many different platforms that you can stream to. But there's really a handful of the big players, which are Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook, I would say.
Right.
So it's good to see that they're building like the feature parity along with Twitch now for YouTube as well.
Yeah, I think this kind of change is great for especially new broadcasters who want to have everything in one place, especially as this gets more built out for YouTube. Because that was kind of the whole benefit of having Streamlabs OBS, for example, is having it just one shop stop for all your chat and everything else being right there. So now that OBS has it as well, I think that really helps if you're a new streamer coming in. Previously, we kind of said that like Streamlabs OBS was the way to go as a new streamer because of that. But as OBS gets more of these features like the integrated chat and alerts and things like that that you can dock, then I think really there's not a reason to go for Streamlabs OBS eventually. Because I still love OBS personally over Streamlabs if I have the choice, but it can be kind of daunting for new streamers, I think.
I think you're not on your own there. I don't know if I even recommend Streamlabs OBS to new users. I just blanket recommend learning OBS Studio because I think it's the better software, and I have done throughout my time. I think Streamlabs OBS has definitely got a time and like a use case for certain people that just want it to be super easy to add alerts and things like that. That's still more difficult through OBS Studio, and don't really ever see them like integrating that in. But that's also what makes it so powerful, is like you're not really limited to using one provider or anything like that. So yeah, that's the main, I'd say, new feature of OBS 27.1. But they do also have a couple of other updates that I noted down. Multiview now has up to 18 scenes. So people that use the multiview function, it's more traditional in traditional broadcast sense, where you can see all the different inputs when you have lots of different scenes on a screen, and then you can choose which one you want to go to. That's up to 18 scenes now. They've added a mask only to the track mat stinger options, which was actually something that I really wanted right from version 27 release, but they ended up taking it out because they couldn't find a good way to do it at the time, and they just wanted to get the release out. This effectively just means that you don't now need to have side-by-side transparent video with a track mat if all you're wanting to do is the actual black and white of the two scenes transitioning. So you're not doing any other stinger graphic, you're just using the black and white colors to choose how to swap between scenes. You now don't need to have the see-through or transparent background video alongside that, so it should reduce resources use for people using that. I know Nerd or Die like have a pack of 20 track mat stinger transitions, and they were all they had to remake them all to basically have transparent video on one side just so it worked with version 27. So now they can go back to the less resource heavy version that's now been added. Tiny little things now, auto remix also now works with replay buffer. This effectively, like if you've ever used auto remix, if you're recording through OBS Studio and you've been using a container like MKV, which you should be, because MP4, if it ever crashes, you would never then have that video file recoverable, whereas MKV is. But you can set OBS Studio to remix the video once you finish recording, so it converts it from MKV and creates a copy in MP4. That now also works for replay buffer, which is really handy, so you'll never have to go in and do those again. I know we're getting a little bit niche here, but I just wanted to cover what I think probably are the best new features for streamers. And like I said, it's a small update. It's not going to be a video for me. I'm not going to make a full tutorial about OBS Studio version 27.1, but it's worth covering, I think, in the pod. So I think that's probably it, and we can move on to our next topic. Ben, do you want to talk about, I guess it's kind of news from last week, the show that we covered, but they've gone back on their decision.
Yeah, so we talked about this last week originally, how OnlyFans was going to be suspending explicit content from the platform. Since that, and since all the fallout from that announcement, they have reverted that decision, or at least delayed that decision a little bit. They've suspended the plan to ban explicit content. I don't think they've said when they're suspending it till. So again, that language is important because it's not we're canceling plans, we're suspending them. So it could still happen at some point, and that's something that I saw in the original article that went out about this. But it's really interesting, and I think, I don't know, we talked about a lot last week. I mean, OnlyFans has become kind of synonymous with that kind of content these days, and my prediction was that if they did this, they were just going to kind of slowly die, because again, you're not going to go on OnlyFans to get exclusive chef content or like personal trainer stuff, right? So I think it kind of makes sense. I'm really curious to see if they end up doing this sooner than later and just reinstate it down the road, or if they really just suspend it indefinitely. So we'll have to see. But Pete, what do you think about this?
What surprises me about this is how did OnlyFans not think there was going to be this reaction? Like, they've now reverted the decision, right? But how did they not think that the reaction that happened to them banning all that kind of content was going to be was going to be what happened? I wonder if this is just some 200 IQ publicity stunt, and because there will have been a lot of people that had no idea what OnlyFans was. Not us in the content creation space, but parents and older generation. This was covered, you know, over here in the UK on BBC News, like on the biggest news networks. So I reckon this could have been a huge brain publicity stunt, and now everybody knows about OnlyFans. What we need is like the Streamlabs reports that we get every quarter. We need them to start including OnlyFans, and we need to see how much of an impact OnlyFans growth has had, because it wouldn't surprise me. I found like an article from The Guardian basically going through some of the details of why they reverted the ban. It basically looks like they've managed to either speak with their current banking partners or find new banking partners that were okay with how much money was coming from adult content. But yeah, it's a really strange one. We're not really going to cover OnlyFans very often on the podcast, but it served as a good example last week to talk about why you shouldn't put all your eggs in the Twitch basket or in the YouTube basket. And I guess this is lucky for a lot of people that were creating content on OnlyFans, but they're also, I imagine, going to be super skeptical, especially like you said, from the wording of like suspended the planned change. That just means delayed it in my head. So I would be like, well, I'm not going to keep creating content on this platform if you're just going to still go through with the decision at a later date. But we'll have to see.
Exactly. I think that's the lesson to take away is, yes, they may have done away with it for now, but it seems like the writing's still on the wall potentially here. So I would not keep investing in that platform. But at least you now have like an exit strategy instead of, you know, 30 days from now, you just have to stop everything completely. You can kind of taper off away from that, maybe find a new platform in the meantime. So that's good if you're created on that platform at least.
Yeah, I totally agree. So should we move on to the main topic for today, which is the Streamlabs introduction of a new feature? When I saw this, I was like, this is a great idea, but surely this is going to be pissing off Twitch, like in a major, major way. I'll introduce it because there'll be, I'm sure, some people that haven't seen this, or people on the podcast that haven't heard about it. Effectively, Streamlabs introduced a new feature this week or last week. They're calling it monthly tipping, I believe is the name of the feature. But effectively what it is a way for viewers to support streamers on a monthly reoccurring basis with any set amount. So it could be $1, it could be $5, like a traditional Twitch sub. And obviously, because it's a tip, there's zero fees. Well, there's a fee that PayPal takes, which is pretty small, but it's nowhere near as big as the split that you take as a Twitch creator when you're splitting 50-50 in the majority of contracts with, you know, streamer to Twitch as a platform. So from a $5 donation, you're going to be getting more like $4.50 rather than $2.50 like you do on a traditional subsplit. I'll go over to the screen share here. This is the tweet, and I've also brought up a full article. But effectively, as a creator, you're going to be receiving more money. The viewer or the person supporting you isn't going to be necessarily getting the same benefits. So obviously, since it's not tied into Twitch as a platform, they don't get all the perks of being a subscriber. So they don't get the subscriber badge next to the name, they won't unlock your emotes, and they won't get zero ads on your channel. But that might be worth them giving up if it means that they're supporting you as a creator with a significant amount more money. So I actually did the maths here, and this was I just found an article about PayPal fees, and it might be out of date, but I tried to find the most recent one. If somebody donated the $5 that you usually have to pay for a Twitch sub, and I know that there's local sub pricing now, but I think most people think of $5 still, the streamer would get $4.55 through this method. And Streamlabs isn't taking any of this money. This is just the PayPal fees. So you pay $5, PayPal takes a small percentage, and then the streamer receives $4.55 versus $2.50 on the majority of standard Twitch contracts. So what do you think, Ben? When you saw this, do you think this is genius? Do you think it's cheeky? Do you think Twitch is going to kick off about it? Because obviously, I don't know what they can do, but Streamlabs is very integrated with Twitch. I imagine CEOs have each other's numbers in that regard.
Yeah, so I'll be honest. When I first saw this, I kind of didn't think much of it, because mostly because it's not tied in the platform still. You know, you're still not getting your emotes and sub badges and things like that for being part of Twitch. But the more I thought about it, and the more news has come out over the last week, I think this actually could make a pretty big dent. Something that I think of with this is, does anybody here remember GameWisp when they were doing their, they kind of had the same system where you could subscribe outside, and it was really designed for non-partners, because for a while, if you were not a partner, you couldn't get a subscription in any way. So a lot of affiliate tier streamers used GameWisp to kind of have subscribers in the meantime. And they eventually shut down. I don't think Twitch shut them down. I think they just kind of were unsustainable. But this is also a little different because it's Streamlabs, which is a much bigger and more established platform. And they can integrate alerts as part of the experience, which I think is big. So you can actually choose when to pop up your alert, I believe, like anytime during the month for your renewing subscription. It'll show up on the stream. So you're still getting that kind of validation of being on the stream when you subscribe to somebody. And the big thing is that it's coming in the wake of everything going on right now with Twitch, with the day off Twitch stuff and just general dissatisfaction with how Twitch is running things, especially in wake of hate raids and all that stuff. So this kind of feels like perfect timing for them to release this feature, because I think people right now more than ever are looking for ways to not support Twitch, but still support the creator in a way. And this is kind of perfect for doing that. So do you know when it actually rolls out? Is it coming out now?
That's a good question. I didn't see anything in the article about it not being out already. So I presume it is out now.
And, okay.
We'll have to test it out, basically. It's a really good point that you made about, because I mentioned the features that aren't included when you traditionally subscribe. Well, when you do this method versus traditionally subscribing on Twitch. But the one thing that is still available to you is an alert of some sort going on the streamer's screen. So if the streamer still sets up this option through Streamlabs, then you can choose to have your donation message read out every month. You can change it and choose when you want it to actually go out. So that, I think that is a major reason why some people subscribe. And I know some big streamers no longer have like donation messages appearing on screen or text-to-speech turned on, but they'll still be able to see this from within their like Streamlabs dashboard. So you do get, I guess, two big perks. You know that you're supporting the creator significantly more than you would be if you were subscribing on Twitch, and you get some kind of, you know, alert and hopefully a shout out from the streamer that you're subscribing to. But yeah, you don't get the ad-free viewing, the sub badges, or the emotes. And I know that there's plenty of extensions like Better Twitch TV to get all the emotes, but it's still worth mentioning what you do and don't get. But it's a great option. I'm going to be intrigued to see how well picked up it is, because it's the kind of thing that I think Twitch is probably going to respond to if a load of people end up using it. And, you know, they see their bottom line hurting because people aren't subscribing as much. People are using this feature much more. But it could also be one of these features that just doesn't really go anywhere and only a handful of creators use it. There was a couple of good questions that I saw in chat. Noise Guy. Tarkov said, do you need Streamlabs Prime to do it? Nope, this is completely free. It's outside of Streamlabs Prime, and Streamlabs doesn't take any cut. So for all the grief that we give Streamlabs for putting things into Prime, this is completely free. And I think they are just helping creators make more money. So I really like that. Did I see another question, or am I just making that up? I saw Clifford say this could force Twitch to improve their subsplit, and I think if it gets used, that is the dream outcome, right? If this feature ends up getting used a lot and starts to hurt Twitch's bottom line, what will Twitch do? They probably will have to improve their subsplit or improve the amount of features that you get as a subscriber.
Yeah, I think what you kind of touched on is the big question is how much it gets adopted, because to your point, there's a lot of upside to this. I mean, the split is huge. You can almost basically double your support for the creator by using this method if you go through it. The tricky part is that it's not built into Twitch's system. So for new Twitch users, it may not be clear how to use that. But if the streamers kind of en masse say, hey guys, use this feature to support me instead of subscribing, or even maybe turn off subscribing if they want to get out of that program. And I think it could pick up steam. And again, especially in wake of everything I've seen over the past week with the dissatisfaction for Twitch. I mean, there's a lot of questions about how to kind of make Twitch act, whether it's, you know, this whole day off Twitch thing, to take a day off of streaming. Some people saying to leave Twitch altogether or cancel your subscriptions. This seems to me like an actual way, if it gets picked up in mass, to make a difference against Twitch, is if people move to this in a big way, if a lot of big streamers will kind of push this thing, then it really will make a big difference in the income of Twitch. So I think they'd have to respond either with a better revenue split or some sort of response to this kind of feature. But we'll have to see. Since it's out now, which it seems like somebody in chat said, I have not seen anybody use this from the Twitch I've been watching since, but hopefully if they want to see it take off, I think it'd have to take a lot of streamers really pushing at it all at once. But yeah, I was surprised also, by the way, to see Streamlabs didn't take any cut. That was a big surprise to me. And it's really just that PayPal fee.
Yeah, I agree. That was a surprise and a good thing. I think one thing you have to remember as well is that typically donations through PayPal, and you know, PayPal is the payment processor that Streamlabs uses, or one of the ones that they use. And there are cases where there's been chargebacks, and you as a streamer end up losing out on money because people have donated and then charged back because they're using PayPal. So that's one of the advantages that supporting creators through Twitch has been specifically. You know, subscriptions and bits are much harder to revert. I know you can revert Twitch subscriptions, but you wouldn't be able to do it en masse and it wouldn't actually cost you money as the streamer. So there is inherently a bit more risk in using something like this, but it's probably well worth it when we're talking about the difference that the creator gets in terms of split. I'll bring up on screen as well, there's a little quote that I found on Twitter from Ashray, who is the Streamlabs head of product, says, as the live streaming industry has grown, so has the need for a sustainable revenue model. Currently, most major streaming platforms provide viewers with a way to subscribe to a channel. However, they usually split the revenue from the subscription in half between the creators and the platform. So exactly what we've said, that it is a model that they've built based on subscriptions. They're not calling it subscriptions. They're calling it, what did I say? Monthly tips or something like that. I can't even remember.
Yeah, monthly donations, sort of
monthly tipping. But it's 100% a rival to subscriptions. The other thing that I saw mentioned is these amounts that you see on screen, where you have like a suggested amount and then four buttons with suggested amounts underneath. The streamer has full control over that. So, you know, the streamer could have suggesting $5 and then 1, 3, 5, 10, like this example shows, or it could be more, it could be less. So it's completely up to the streamer. Obviously, PayPal fees, there's like a set amount. I believe it's 30 cents per transaction plus 2.9%. So if you're doing like a dollar donation, you're going to be losing pretty much 50%. But the higher the value goes, then the less of a percentage cut the PayPal is going to take. So I've got to follow this. I've got to see if it ends up getting used. I want to see some examples of it actually being triggered on a streamer's stream to see what it looks like and what it's like from the supporter's point of view. Maybe if I catch you live this week at any point, Ben, if you set this up, I'll give you your first monthly tip and then I'll cancel it straight after this because you're not taking any
money. Oh yeah, gotta charge it back, of course. I do want to mention in the chat, Ben Lee Gaming had a really good point, interesting point, that for multi-streaming, this is kind of an interesting way to be able to essentially multi-stream and still get subscriptions, which is a great point. So if you're not a partner or affiliate on Twitch, you could use this as a way to have subs across platforms, essentially, is my understanding. And there's the whole piece of multi-streaming as a concept and whether that's good for viewership. But in terms of actual support, you could test that out for that feature. So I'd be curious if everyone tries that. Let us know how it works out for you.
Yeah, and then you could maintain a list of users that are supporting you monthly. Like Streamlabs can provide you with that. And then you can offer your own perks and it doesn't have to be completely done on platform, a bit more similar to Patreon and things like that.
Yeah, and because it's like twice as much money, you really only need half as many subs to make the same amount. So that's pretty interesting. You could try it out.
Righto. Anything more on that, Ben? Or should we go on to September?
Yeah, it's kind of related, actually, September. So I guess we can move over to that. So as always, Twitch has announced that September, which is a discount on subscriptions, is starting on September 2nd. Again, kind of ironic considering this whole Streamlabs thing. But the other interesting piece is that they're starting it on September 2nd, not the 1st, which is when the day off Twitch is scheduled for the 1st. That may or may not be a coincidence. You can make your own decision on that. But the deal that's coming is 20% off of new subs, gifted subs, as well as merch through the store, which is interesting because that's lower. There's fewer options of discount this year than in the past years. I think they've been slowly removing the discounts essentially each year, which kind of makes sense as they grow, I guess. But it was interesting to me to track back from 2020 and 2019 as well. In 2020, it was still 20% off, but you got bonuses for a 3 or 6 month sub. And in 2019, it was 50% off across the board. So they're slowly tapering that back a little bit. Just thought it was interesting. But Pete, what do you think about September news?
Yeah, I mean, two bits there to mention. Firstly, there is no coincidence that this starts on the 2nd. It's probably a good decision by Twitch because obviously the 1st of September is this whole day off Twitch hashtag that's trending. We covered it last week in the podcast. So if you haven't heard about that, then go back and listen to last week's episode. But yeah, no coincidence there, and smart by Twitch to, you know, let that day happen and then start this from the 2nd. And in terms of the dropping value of September, I completely agree. I love how the title of this page is, "This September is going to be magic." And what they mean is it's going to be worse than the two previous years, right? Of September. I mean, a bit disappointing that it's just 20% off. It obviously does make a difference. But like you said, 2019 was it 50% off new subscriptions, which is just huge. And then in last year, it was 20% off, but there was a higher discount percentage if you went for a 3 or 6 months subscription that you could sign up for then and there. So there was a big incentive for viewers to support their creators because they got a big discount if they did it in September. It's still worth doing, but I think what we've kind of seen now is that it does make a difference. September is definitely the biggest month, but I remember a couple of years ago, streamers would completely change their schedule for September because it was just so worth being live. Like, it was so much easier to get support, and you as the creator were still receiving the same amount of money from the sub, and you will do this September as well. So it's just I guess Grubhub who are sponsoring this one, which I believe is like a food delivery thing over in the States. We don't have that here. We've got Deliveroo and Uber Eats, but we don't have Grubhub.
They always seem to do food related things with sub sandwiches. So I think it was like Subway last year, and this year it's Grubhub subs. So they're going for those puns.
Effectively, they must be sponsoring it and paying a big portion of the what Twitch is losing to Twitch, effectively. But something to be aware of, definitely, if you're streaming on Twitch in September, is that you can appeal for more subscriptions from your viewers because it's costing them less money, especially when you take into account the new local currency pricing. You know, it'll be 20% off even cheaper subs over here in the UK. I think we're down to $3.99 rather than $4.99 for a sub. Anyway, move on to the next social media platform, which is Instagram. I think you found this, did you, Ben?
Yeah, I think we talked about this in the podcast before in sort of like a rumor sense, or there was not a solid date for it, but Instagram has now confirmed they're removing the swipe up on stories, which was a feature you had. If you had more than 10,000 followers, you got this feature on your account to swipe up to an external link. They're removing that and switching it to a sticker as of today, although we checked this morning and we didn't have the feature yet. So not sure if it's rolled out just yet. But the important thing is it's starting with the same account. So whoever had the feature before to swipe up will be able to use stickers. And then they also mentioned it may roll out to more accounts. I think in the beta tests, they did not just 10K follow accounts, but a bunch of different accounts. So it sounds like it'll eventually roll out to everybody, but no real date on when that is. So in any case, I think it's cool to hear they're potentially rolling out to more accounts than just the 10K follows. And it seems like they really want to go with the sticker feature to kind of promote the products that we talked about before and really tagging specific things in a photo, not just kind of promoting a link, which is interesting. So Pete, any thoughts on seeing this?
A couple of things that this article on The Verge mentions is that they wanted to make the experience much more similar across all stories. So I think right now on a normal story that doesn't have swipe up, if you swipe up, you can react to the story and then the creator gets like a message in their inbox from you with that reaction to their story. So you could do like tear eyes or fire or whatever, depending on what it was. So they want to make that much more similar across stories that have links now. So you can still react to stories with links rather than the swipe up leading you to the website. And I imagine it might also be to do with like being able to see the URL before you go. I don't know what the sticker's going to look like. Like Ben said, we've both had a look. It was meant to launch today. It might have launched today, but neither of us have over 10,000 followers on Instagram. So it might have launched and it still be the same requirement for only verified users that have at least 10,000 followers. But maybe they'll remove that restriction. I'm about halfway there. So in about 5 years' time, I might eventually cross the boundary. And be able to test this, because it would be super useful. Like, the amount of things that I link in, because I really put way more stories out than I do like Instagram actual, what do you call it? Like normal content, like appears in the feed. So I always want to link across to things. This pretty much every time I mention the podcast or the newsletter or a new video, people are asking me to link it. And I'm like, I've got one of those like link pages where all my links are. But it would be super useful just to be able to have links directly in each story for people to swipe up to. But I guess this is, it's a call to action. Go and follow me on Instagram and then...
Yeah, coughing over there. Not yet. Soon I'll have 10K followers.
If everybody watching this stream goes and follows me on Instagram.
That's right. If only. So anyway, that's kind of cool. And I hope they roll out to more accounts, because it seems like I don't really know why they don't roll it out to more accounts. Maybe just like an incentive to get that type of followership on Instagram. But I think we'll probably see it roll out to more users as the feature gets rolled out a little later this year. Speaking of other platform tools, so one of the other pieces that we saw this week is Twitch launched Creator Goals, which seems like it's kind of similar to something that Streamlabs has had for a very long time, which is basically sub and follower goals on Twitch that are built in. So right through your dashboard, you can create a sub or follower goal. And then that will show up in your chat as something your whole chat can work towards. And I think you can also add it as a browser source through OBS or Streamlabs. So exactly like the way that Streamlabs has done their donation goals in the past and follower goals, things like that. So really interesting to see them actually roll us out into the platform. Pete, what are your thoughts kind of seeing this originally?
Yeah, like you said, this has existed for a long time on the like alert platforms. Like I'm pretty sure both Streamlabs and Stream Elements have ways of being able to set up goals, and these can be donation goals or sub goals or follower goals, or I think you can even create completely custom goals that you can increment yourself. But the advantage here is that they're like automatically done. So I guess if Twitch wants to build this, I'm surprised that it's taken them so long, but at the same time I guess I'm a bit surprised that they've decided now to build this feature. I guess it's because more subs also means more revenue to them, so it is a revenue-based feature, isn't it? There's some screenshots here in the article of what it looks like. So here's like the start page of you as a streamer creating a goal. So you can choose a goal type between subscriptions and followers. It will show you how many you currently have, and then you can edit the actual goal of how many you want to get. You can enter into a description, and then it gives you a browser source to actually take and put into your streaming software if you want to actually display it on stream. I think they've got an example of how it looks on stream here. So if you've added this into your streaming software. And then they've also got some like similar to the what are they called now, hype trains, how they appear at the top of stream chat. When you start or when a goal is met, they'll show messages at the top of the stream chat for all your viewers. And you'll also, I believe there is something shown here. Yeah, when somebody subscribes in chat, when it shows like the message in Twitch chat of their subscription, it will also show how many subscribers you have versus your goal if you have a goal set up. I think this is really cool, especially that's going to motivate, I think, people that are reading chat to also support you. And one more screenshot, I think here, yeah, we have what it looks like from the viewer side of things. So if you have a sub goal in particular, when they click subscribe, there's going to be some extra info up at the top here showing the sub goal that you have. I don't know if they're going to have the same for follow, like when you click follow, is it going to show the follower goal? I don't know. The whole article really seems to be based more around the sub goal rather than follow goal, but it's a cool new feature, I guess. Like, it's going to help promote goals to viewers. And some people think that having like a sub goal or a donation goal or something like that on stream is a bit tacky. But I think at the end of the day, if you can help support a streamer through one of these and actually help it make them their full-time job, or help them go to TwitchCon or whatever it is, it could be useful. And it's completely down to the streamer as to if they want to include it or not. It's worth mentioning, though, that this doesn't include donation goals, obviously, because there's no way of doing donations through Twitch. But I am kind of surprised that they didn't do like a bit goal, or because bits is kind of their version of donations. So it's just for subs and followers.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think it's not a coincidence that it's mostly focused on the subs, and that this also rolled out right before September came out, because I think they're really trying to push that feature probably. And so a couple of things in terms of whether or not you should use these features, I think that's a different kind of conversation, because at least for the on-screen overlays, that's, I mean, one-to-one exactly what Streamlabs and Stream Elements have had for years. So whether you use those things or not, I think is still your discretion and which platform you want to use. I do think having the features in chat is pretty cool. If you can actually see the progress towards a goal, things like that showing up, that's something you cannot do with Streamlabs or Stream Elements right now. So I think that's just a win, as long as you use them smartly. Again, I have a whole thesis of how you should actually use these type of things, but at least having the tools is cool for creators who want to have that more interactive piece in chat. And for people who maybe are new to the platform and don't see it on the actual stream, but will see it more easily in the chat box as that pops up.
There's also, it's worth mentioning that there's currently no way to style these overlays if you add them onto your stream. So one of the big selling points of buying like a branded pack of a stream design from somewhere like Nerd or Die, obviously they're my choice, is you can have branded versions of follower goals or subscriber goals, but the one that you're going to get from Twitch is a set font, a set color, a set icon. All you're really changing is the actual final goal, and then adding that to your stream. So you're not going to be able to fit this into your aesthetic as easily if you have, you know, a certain aesthetic that you stream to, which most streamers do, really. So worth mentioning that as well. Anything else to add, Ben, or should we move on to the final topic this week?
Yeah, I think just the last point there I would mention, like you said, is I probably, for my taste, wouldn't use the on-screen overlay, but would use the chat features, because you can just customize more with the alert tools. So that's going to be the best way if you want to use each of these features. But yeah, the last one's a doozy, I think. Do you want to introduce this one?
Yeah, I mean, Ben literally found this about 15 minutes before we went live. So if it ends up being true, and it looks like it is, because it's, you know, put on a proper website, and it, I think it was linked on Livestream Fail or something like that, a subreddit, one of the Twitch subreddits anyway, is that apparently China is going to be bringing in a ban or a limit on how many hours per week under 18s can play video games. Now, you might read this and think, oh, that might make sense, you know, a few hours a night. The limit is 3 hours a week, and it is 1 hour per day at a set time, 8 p.m. till 9 p.m. on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and no other times. And this apparently also includes mobile phone games. I just can't get my head around this. This is going to ruin the youth's upbringing in terms of video games. Like, if you're playing 3 hours a week and that includes all games and it has to be at a certain time, like, I can't even comprehend how that's going to work. It's good for us in EU and NA in terms of an esports side, because most games are dominated by China now, and you know, they're going to struggle to bring young prodigies in if they're only playing 3 hours a week.
Right. Yeah. This is crazy to me, especially because the first time I read this article, I thought it was, you know, 3 hours that you can use whenever, which is okay. But no, this is a specific window you have to do only on weekends from 8 to 9. So it's kind of crazy that you really only have that specific hour to play. So like, if you have something else that's happening, you just can't play any games that day. Can't move that around. And so I think to tie this back to streaming a little bit and to the gaming career side, I think this is going to be really interesting to see for viewership. Because imagine if you can't play any games, then, but you really are thinking about games all the time, then what are you probably going to go do? Watch games either on Twitch or YouTube or other equivalent sites. So I'm really curious to see what this does to viewership of content of gaming over there. But it's really interesting just to see how drastic this is. And even I was reading through some of the comments, there's such a differing views on this. Some people love this thing and think like it really is a big problem in China. And then the other side of it says this is obviously, to us who are gamers, seems a little crazy for how much restriction there is. So just really interesting to see how detailed this is.
Yeah, there's a comment in chat from Matthew says, how can they track that? And I think that'll be my first question as well, is like, how on earth are they going to enforce this? Part of me thought that maybe this is to do with like gaming cafes. Like, I don't know how big they are in China. I know they're like massively popular in places like Korea. And maybe that's the restrictions only going to apply to those. And if you're on a home computer, you can do whatever you want. That would be more justifiable. But it seems that they're somehow banning it. So I don't know if they work out to like ban internet traffic or something like that. It just seems such an extreme viewpoint to try and...
Yeah.
The article mentions that the motive behind it is to try and, you know, get kids off playing computer games and instead, you know, building businesses and educating themselves and reading more books. But it just seems crazy. I'm 100% sure that there'll be workarounds to it, and the smarter gamers will be, I don't know, playing on a VPN through in a basement with a ad hoc internet connection or something. I don't know, but it's just, even if it's anything close to this headline, it is absolutely absurd.
Yeah, it's crazy. And to that point of how they monitor it, one thing they did mention in the article is that the companies who provide the services of the games actually have to conform to this thing. So they can't provide services to minor accounts outside of those specific 1 hour windows, which means basically, and they also have a real name verification system in place for, so I guess you have to identify your age and things like that as part of the account creation process. And my guess is your account literally just can't access the servers outside of those hours, which is crazy. And I did see comments from people saying, oh, well, they'll just get on their parents' accounts, things like that. So we'll see. Obviously, we're very moved from what this would be like, but it's really crazy to see how drastic it is.
There's going
to
be a huge business model for selling. It's rather than boosting accounts now, it's just going to be an 18 plus verified account. Like,
right.
Selling that to under 18s is going to be a big selling point. Yeah, just crazy. I think you make a really good point about how this is going to affect viewership. If the government have any sense, then they would probably also ban watching video games on Twitch, because that also isn't very productive. And if what they want to do is, you know, increase productivity in traditional means, then they would probably ban that too. But they probably haven't thought about that. So maybe it's just going to mean huge viewership numbers on the Twitch equivalent over in China.
But just
insane news. Imagine if that happened in America or in Europe. It would be...
Well, that's the thing. I think there's a world where... I don't think we get this drastic with it, but I could see like something like this coming to the EU with NA in the future. And maybe the way this goes, maybe it won't because of how China handles it. But I don't know. There's been a lot of talk about like loot boxes, for example, and just how much time is spent in front of screens lately, that I could see some sort of regulations coming out like that in the future, but it might also be way harder to track over here. So who knows, really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it does happen, somebody's just mentioned in chat, just make sure you have your podcast during that 1 hour. I don't know if I want to compete with the internet traffic. Can you imagine what the queues would be like trying to queue up for a game of League of Legends when everybody has to play at 8 p.m. till 9 p.m. It's probably going to break the servers.
Well, that's the thing too. Like, imagine that you get in the game like League of Legends or Dota that goes over an hour sometimes. What happens? You just, the game quits out.
Just a coin flip. Who gets the Elo points?
And then, oh my God, it's a whole can of worms of what could go wrong there. But man, that's rough for that side of the world.
Yeah, it really, really is. We'll obviously follow that as well, but an interesting bit of news to finish the pod on. I think that probably wraps it all up, Ben, unless you've got anything else to mention. I guess that, thanks to everybody that's joined in the chat. As always, we've had a super active chat. It's hard to keep up sometimes, but we've done our best to pull out some interesting comments to talk to, and really appreciate everybody turning up here every week to talk to us. I believe we don't have a podcast next week because Ben, as he mentioned at the start of the pod, is moving house, so he has to set up his internet. Make sure you choose a good provider, make sure you have, you know, your router installed in the same room as your studio, all of these things you have to think about as a creator. So it'll probably be a couple of weeks till our next episode, but there will be traditional gaming careers videos going up this week, so keep yourself subbed for those. And if you've got nothing else, Ben, then I think we'll catch everybody in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks for watching, guys. We'll see you in about 2 weeks.
Peace.